New Zealand's been hit by a 501 boomerang, with Australia backtracking this month on its commitment around deportations.
The revised direction makes it clear that the safety of the Australian community is the Albanese government's highest priority.
We regret the decision that Australia has made.
Kia ora, ko Giles Dextaho, ane te porongo tōrangapū mō tēnei wiki. Welcome to Focus on Politics. The thorn in the side of the Trans-Tasman relationship looks set for a comeback. As successive prime ministers swapped sports jerseys and talked up the special relationship, the issue of people in Australia who have little to no connection to New Zealand being deported here has nagged away. 4.5 years ago, Jacinda Ardern memorably took Scott Morrison to task.
Australia is well within its rights to deport individuals who break your laws. New Zealand does the same. But we have a simple request. Send back Kiwis. Genuine Kiwis. Do not deport your people and your problems.
While the issue of 501 deportations, named after the section of the Australian Migration Act, applies to any non-citizen, New Zealand had fought for change due to our close relationship with Australia, which was not reflected in the pathways to citizenship. A move to a common-sense approach to deportations from the Anthony Albanese government meant those fractures were starting to heal. Primary consideration was given to the person's ties to Australia in weighing up whether to deport them. Australia also providing a pathway to citizenship for New Zealanders was seen as a further step to play fair. Back to the smiles, back to the jersey swaps. But the issue never fully went away. Christopher Luxon had to raise it again in his first trip across the Tasman at the end of last year. And this year, across the ditch, it's blown up into a political headache. Several non-citizens with criminal records were escaping deportation, including people with child sex abuse and murder convictions. The pressure was piling on the Albanese government.
Why did this weak and incompetent Prime Minister put his close and sycophantic relationship with Jacinda Ardern ahead of the safety of Australians?
That's opposition leader Peter Dutton, who, when last in government, said this about the deportations.
Well, it's taking the trash out.
So, last week, Australian Immigration Minister Andrew Giles announced a U-turn. From the 21st of June, instead of someone's ties to Australia, the safety of the Australian community will be the highest priority when making deportation decisions. And any tribunal appeals would likely be insufficient in the face of the most serious charges, such as family and sexual violence.
This direction is clearer. We are elevating community safety as a key principle. We are also, as I've said, put in place a higher level of consideration on the impact of victims and their families. These are clear, crystal clear directions to decision makers about the expectations that I have, that the Australian government has, and the Australian community has about non-citizens.
Hayley Rukawai is currently in an Australian detention centre and says the previous direction was a glimmer of hope. The threshold for visa cancellation is a 12-month prison sentence. Her sentence was 16 months. Her charges included drug possession, breaches of bail, driving while disqualified, failure to appear, dangerous operation of a motor vehicle, and breach of a domestic violence order. But she served her time. She's lived in Australia for 35 years. Her children are Australian citizens. She told RNZ's Jessie Chung she's facing being deported to a country she hasn't lived in since she was 6 years old.
When they brought that Direction 99 in and they said that, you know, ties to the community and how long you've lived in this country and all of that would have, it would have more weight when you went to court or when a decision was made about you. It was like, okay, you know, like this is at least a half a chance here because I've been here my whole life. Like my children, my family is here, you know, like it might be okay. And for that to be taken away, it's like, oh my God, like, yeah, it doesn't look good. Doesn't look good at all.
What would your message be to the Australian government?
I guess, our families and our ties to our families need to be taken into consideration. Like, we grew up here. New Zealand is not our home. Australia is our home. Whether they like that or not, that's the truth of the matter. It's destroying lives, it's destroying families, and we're all suffering.
Mm. And it must seem so frustrating as well to have this back and forth for you.
I'm facing a life sentence and it doesn't seem fair. I've been in detention longer than my entire jail sentence. Like, when does this end?
Greg Barnes is a spokesperson for the Australian Lawyers Alliance and has helped a number of prospective deportees at the Administrative Appeals Tribunal. He says ultimately the Australian government has crumbled under pressure.
Well, look, there's been a race to the bottom in migration politics in Australia, as sadly there has been over many, many years. And some of the media have joined in what I could call a pile-on, essentially saying, look, there are people who are remaining in Australia simply because they have strong connections to Australia. They've lived all their lives here or most of their lives here and they've committed serious offences. The blame has been placed on the current government and the current minister, Andrew Giles. And the government, in the end, decided to cave in and respond, unfortunately, because the evidence just does not support the idea that there is a greater danger to the Australian community by prioritising people who've lived in this country all their lives or nearly all their lives.
So, yeah, essentially, is this just plain politics?
It's been pure politics, and it's been an unedifying spectacle. One of the problems in Australia is that for a couple of decades now, there's been really crass politics played on the issue of migration, and some of the media in Australia has been particularly bad when it comes to this issue. Rational discussion, sensible discussion about revocation of visas, and particularly in relation to people from New Zealand, has been jettisoned in favour of sensationalism and the sort of fear-mongering by politicians.
Law Professor Alexander Gillespie from the University of Waikato agrees that the Court of Public Opinion has driven the change.
No party wants to be seen as going soft on innocent foreigners who commit crimes in Australian sovereign territory. And so even if it does make common sense between bilaterally, the Australian populace doesn't like this idea. A lot of populations don't like this idea and people want to be hard on those who've committed crime if they're not citizens. And the more serious the crime, the more they want them out of the country. And so the risk to me isn't so much what the judiciary says or the decision makers, it's the way that the public responds to this and then how the politicians act. And you don't want that. You don't want your immigration to be set by public opinion. But unfortunately, that's what you're seeing right now.
While Christopher Luxon suspected change was coming and had already raised his concerns with Anthony Albanese, he was not given a heads up on the day the announcement was made. Instead, he had to hastily organise a media stand-up at the end of his Pacific trip. Standing outside a Nandi pharmaceutical business was maybe not how the Prime Minister wanted to talk about such a significant shift of the diplomatic dial.
We regret the decision that Australia has made. From my point of view, I've raised it with Prime Minister Albanese. I know our Foreign Minister has raised it also with the Immigration Minister. Again, it's just not right that we think that people have no connection to New Zealand are deported to New Zealand. It's just new news about the new ministerial direction. We need to make sure and monitor how that gets implemented going forward.
It's a sentiment echoed by Labor leader Chris Hipkins, who was Prime Minister when the common sense approach came into law.
New Zealand didn't make them into criminal offenders, Australia did. And so I think Australia deporting them to New Zealand is unjust. It's unjust for the people concerned and for their relatives, but it's unjust for New Zealand. We shouldn't have to shoulder that burden when we did not have any role in creating it.
While Christopher Luxon has been reassured that common sense will still be applied, it's still early days to know what that new interpretation of common sense actually means.
Prime Minister Albanese has also assured me there will continue to be a common sense approach will apply. And so a lot of this will be about the interpretation of the directive and the execution of the directive.
Both Christopher Luxon and Chris Hipkins point out that Australia is, of course, well within its rights to make its own decision as a sovereign nation. New Zealand, too, has its own deportation policies. But it's the to and fro, the give and take, that's caused the regret. Alexander Gillespie says New Zealand's been caught up in Australia's broad brush approach.
I think we've been caught up in much larger domestic issues in Australia. And because, these other high-profile cases have come up where people have committed serious crimes and then used that link to the Australian community of long standing to be able to stay in the country. The Australians are saying, we don't want this. You know, we don't want this kind of exception. And now I think New Zealanders are going to pay that price. And even though they may not be the high-profile cases, I expect the Australians will respond with a broad brush, and they're just going to try even harder to get people who they say fail what they call the character test out of their country.
He says the announcement was not made in good faith.
I think they've handled it badly. And I think it was already corrosive to the relationship between New Zealand and Australia, which overall is a fantastic relationship. But we need to have more mechanisms where we can cooperate more, find more middle ground whereby we can reduce this kind of blanket approach where if you've committed a crime, they could have given you 12 months in jail or more, you will be seen back. I can see it from the Australian perspective. You know, no country which has got people who aren't citizens committing crimes is often tolerant of those people. But we have a special relationship and we need to have more nuances in it to make sure that if they have a strong link, like maybe 10 years in the community, and it's linked to the bilateral relationship, maybe there should be more flexibility than what there is right now. But we need to also be thinking about other things, because New Zealand doesn't do. And like one of these is the international prison transfers. And so, like, if you're an Australian who commits a crime overseas and you've got a bilateral agreement, like, say, with Britain or America, then that person will be brought back to do the time in Australia, and that they won't necessarily serve the time in America. And that takes some of the pressure out of the relationship, because it doesn't feel like it's just an American problem or a British problem. It's Australians taking responsibilities for their own citizens who have committed crime overseas. We don't do that. We don't do these prisoner exchanges. Maybe it's time that we start to think that if a Kiwi commits a crime in another country, we have a responsibility towards that other country to maybe bring that person home as well, rather than sharing the costs of their incarceration.
The 501 clause itself, that the Australian government can cancel a non-citizen's visa, has not changed. And of course, it doesn't just apply to New Zealanders. But the lobbying from New Zealand was part of what drove the changes last year, and was partly driven by attempts to crack down on crime here. The deportations were blamed for a surge in gang membership in New Zealand. People arrived here with no family or a place to call home. So some found a family of their own and joined gangs. Greg Barnes says the approach from Australia has been brutal, discriminatory and inhumane.
What happens is they go back to New Zealand. They have often, in the cases I've done, they'll have no family, or they might have distant family in New Zealand but no real connection. They don't have employment. They're essentially dumped at the airport and say, now find your own way in New Zealand. And of course, in some cases, not all cases, in some cases, it is inevitable that they will resort to perhaps gangs or groups of people who, indulge in antisocial behaviour.
Chris Hipkins is concerned the U-turn could put more pressure on police.
Well, we know that the increase in gang activity in New Zealand over the last couple of years is at least partly attributable to the deportation of 501s with gang connections in Australia. It's what's prompted the emergence of some new patched gangs in New Zealand that weren't previously present in New Zealand. And that, the emergence of new gangs, was one of the things that then spurred more activity with the existing gangs, as more, there was more competition between gangs. So I think, you know, there's no question, you couldn't doubt it, that the deportation of 501s from Australia to New Zealand has really heightened gang tension in New Zealand, heightened the amount of gang-related crime in New Zealand, and so a resumption of that policy is likely to continue to add pressure in that area.
The government's recently beefed up its gang response unit, but the Prime Minister is pressing on.
Our work continues. You know, we know that we've had rising levels of crime in New Zealand over the last 6 years, and we're determined to push back hard against it.
Either way, Greg Barnes says it's looking likely that more people will once again be deported to New Zealand.
This did have an adverse impact on relations between Australia and New Zealand, because the way in which the law was being used and applied, and no criticism of judges and AAT members, that they had to apply the law as it was, is that it did discriminate against New Zealanders, because there were a number of New Zealanders who were in prison or who had committed serious criminal offences, and more of those people were being sent back to New Zealand, And, you know, one of the difficulties that was created was, I think, that New Zealand taking the position that, you know, you're using New Zealand as a dumping ground. Peter Dutton, the former immigration minister and now opposition leader and one of the architects of the sort of harsh immigration policies in Australia, said at the time it was like taking out the trash. I mean, you know, that sort of inhumane approach, I think, shocked people in New Zealand. And I've done a number of interviews with New Zealand journalists over the years, and I think there's genuine shock and surprise at the sort of brutality of the Australian system and the fact that it doesn't respect the nature of the relationship with New Zealand.
New Zealand's been caught in the middle of an Australian political firestorm. While the interpretation of the new rule is still to be ironed out, New Zealand will now have to readjust to something it thought it had left behind. That's Focus on Politics. I'm Giles Dexter. Thanks for joining us. Mā te wā.